ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 7 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द किलिंग ऑफ द डीमन तृणावर्त टेक्स्ट नंबर 37। सा वीक्ष्य विश्वं सहसा राजन संजात वेपतु सम्मील्य मृगशावाक्षी नेत्रे आसीत् सुविस्मिता। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: When Mother Yashoda saw the whole universe within the mouth of her child, her heart began to throb, and in astonishment, she wanted to close her restless eyes. Purport: Because of her pure maternal love, Mother Yashoda thought that this wonderful child, playing so many tricks, must have had some disease. She did not appreciate the wonders shown by her child. Rather, she wanted to close her eyes. She was expecting another danger, and therefore her eyes became restless like those of a deer cub. This was all the arrangement of Yoga Maya. The relationship between Mother Yashoda and Krishna is one of pure maternal love. In that love, Mother Yashoda did not very much appreciate the display of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's opulences. At the beginning of this chapter, two extra verses sometimes appear. Evam bahuni karmani gopanam shamsa yoshitam nandasya gehe vavrudde kurvan vishnu janardhanah. In this way, to chastise and kill the demons, the child Krishna demonstrated many activities in the house of Nanda Maharaj, and the inhabitants of Vraja enjoyed these incidences. Evam savavrade vishnur nanda gehe janardanah kurvan anisham anandam gopalanam sayoshitam. To increase the transcendental pleasure of the gopas and the gopis, Krishna, the killer of all demons, was thus raised by his father and mother, Nanda and Yashoda. Shripad Vijayadvaja Tirtha also adds another verse after the third verse in this chapter. Vistareneha karunyat sarva papa pranashanam vaktum arhasi dharmagya dayalustvam iti prabho. Parishit Maharaj thus requested Shukadeva Goswami to continue speaking such narrations about the pastimes of Krishna so that the king could enjoy from them transcendental bliss. Om Ajnana Timirandasya. We are reading from 10th canto, chapter 7, the killing of the demon Trinavarta. So in this particular chapter, we heard the different pastimes of Krishna killing Shakatasura in the beginning, and then we also heard about Krishna killing Trinavarta from various devotees. And then at the end of this chapter, we see this particular pastime of Krishna showing the whole universe in his mouth to Mother Yashoda is described. In fact, Krishna shows the whole universe to Mother Yashoda twice. Once when Krishna actually ate dirt, then Mother Yashoda, like Krishna was actually telling that, oh, I have not eaten the dirt. Then Mother Yashoda wanted to check Krishna's mouth. So that time also Krishna showed the universe. So that pastime comes later. But here also actually Krishna showed, Krishna is showing his universe to Mother Yashoda. So we'll try to understand, we'll try to speak something which I heard from other devotees. I remember that in the Vrindavan Yatra, in the recent Vrindavan Yatra, His Grace Govind Prabhu was actually giving a lecture in Rawal, in the birthplace of Srimati Radharani. So there he was actually narrating this pastime of Krishna actually showing the universal form to Mother Yashoda within his mouth. So he was actually explaining that in Krishna Leela, like we see in this world, people actually look for entertainment. We have many people read magazines and movies and so many of these things for entertainment. But in the case of mundane entertainment, they may apparently entertain us for some time, but they kill the values within us. Like movies and this thing, they may actually, like we find a relief from our problems for some time when we watch our matches or something like that. But then, actually, if we deeply see, like they actually kill our values. But in the case of Krishna Leela, Krishna has performed such wonderful pastimes, like yesterday Akinchan Krishna was narrating that actually everyone is attracted towards small children. And when Krishna is acting like a small child, this actually is supremely attractive. So when actually Krishna performs such wonderful pastimes, it definitely entertains us. But not only it entertains us, but it also actually gives values to the people. Like along with every pastime of Krishna, there is rasa, is there? There is entertainment, and there is also siddhanta associated with each pastime, and also there is sadachar, like how we can apply the siddhanta in our own lives. There is like how to like the different elements of like Vedic culture and how to apply. Like for example, if we take the sadachar part, like in this pastime, we see that like Mother Yashoda, we can see the Mother Yashoda's affection towards Krishna. Like Krishna is showing the whole universe in his mouth, but Mother Yashoda is thinking that there's something wrong, maybe Krishna has got some disease, like she's taking shelter of Lord Vishnu to protect Krishna. Like she's feeling that maybe this wonderful child is playing so many tricks, he must have had some disease. So Mother Yashoda is, we can see Mother Yashoda's affection towards Krishna. So in one lecture, like Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining how there is actually need of, how there is like, just like in a society needs, like people who are like Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, society also needs good mothers. He was saying that like when the child actually gets mother's affection in their childhood, then actually a person actually becomes a like proper, very strong human being, and he actually grows old psychologically, physically, emotionally, in all levels. So one of the reason why nowadays we see that people go through so many psychological problems, so many like they go into depression, etc. Sometimes when we try to see their past, sometimes they may not be raised properly. So they may not have received mother's affection in their childhood. In fact, like I was reading some of the lectures, transcripts of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He was explaining the story of Maharaj Anga and King Vena, which comes in the fourth canto. He was saying that King Vena, he was such a actually cruel king. He actually claimed himself to be the Supreme Lord. He wanted the people to worship him and not to worship the Supreme Lord. Then the Brahmanas tried to advise King Vena. And then King Vena did not listen to the advice of Brahmanas. And then as the last resort, the Brahmanas had to kill King Vena by chanting mantras. So they killed King Vena. So then when the King Vena was killed, the whole world was actually, the world was facing problem because there was no king. The thieves and rogues became prominent. So then at that time, the Brahmanas, again, they had to find a solution. So they had to like bring another king. So in order to appoint another king, they knew that this dynasty of Dhruva Maharaj, like in whose dynasty King Vena is appearing, he knew that this dynasty of King Vena is so powerful that the semen in the dynasty of King Vena is so powerful, it can actually bring out so many great kings. So then they actually churned the body of King Vena. So one may say, like usually when a person dies, immediately the body is cremated. Why didn't they cremate the body of King Vena? Actually, King Vena's body was not cremated because King Vena's mother Suniti, because of her affection towards King Vena, actually the whole world considered King Vena to be a cruel person, but for Suniti, because of her motherly affection, like she actually preserved the body of her dead son through mantras, like through herbs and this thing. We can see sometimes scientists are proud of the technology, but there are much more superior technologies existing in the long back actually. So because the body of King Vena was preserved, the Brahmanas could actually churn the body of King Vena, and then they actually, from the King Vena, a great King Prithu Maharaj was born. So Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining, actually motherly affection saved the whole world. See, because Suniti had affection towards King Vena, of course one way to see is like a blind love, although he was performing so many demonic activities, still mother Suniti had affection. But in another way to see is that motherly affection saved the whole world actually. So in one sense we can see the Sadachar part of that, how there is need of mothers who can show proper affection to the children, because from that actually the children who grow up by getting proper affection, they will be actually a complete human being. In fact, long back, one of the lectures, Soulness Dhanodhar Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture about how motherly affection is very important for the psychological state of a human being. And also, not only motherly affection, in general, we can see how we have to show affection to others. And when we take the point of Siddhanta, before we come to the point of Siddhanta, I would like to tell something about the philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes. Many times when we read actually Krishna's pastimes, sometimes a person may think, so I don't want to hear the philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes. I just narrate the pastimes. The philosophy is too boring, one may say like that. But actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his book called Raghavartma Chandrika, he is telling about the importance of understanding the philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes. For example, Krishna's pastimes are so sweet actually. They are like sweet rice. Philosophical truths behind those pastimes may appear bitter. For example, cardamom and camphor, they themselves, when you taste separately, they may taste they don't taste sweet. But when they are added to the sweet rice, they actually enhance the sweetness of sweet rice. So similarly, philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes may appear bitter and boring, but when a person understands the philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes, they actually enhance our appreciation of Krishna's pastimes. He actually raises a question, which I heard from many speakers. I think in one of the last class, Akinjan Krishna Prabhu also mentioned this. For example, he says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is raising a question. When Krishna, like for a, For example, in the Damodar Leela, or in this pastime of Krishna, when he is showing the universal form to Mother Yashoda, was Krishna aware of his divinity or not? When Krishna was running out of fear of Mother Yashoda, or when Krishna was showing his universal form to Mother Yashoda, was Krishna aware of his divinity or not? So when we see this question, suppose if the answer is yes, yes, Krishna was aware of his divinity, then if it is yes, then the whole Krishna's pastimes would be just like a drama. He's just making a theatrical performance. He's actually aware of his divinity, but he's just acting like that. So when you know that somebody is simply acting like that in a particular way, when somebody is speaking something, but when you know that this person does not mean what he speaks, he's just simply acting like that, then you won't take the words of the person seriously. But suppose if the answer is no, Krishna was not aware of his divinity, then the question rises, actually, is Krishna the Supreme Personality of God? If Krishna is not aware of his divinity, how can he be called the Supreme Personality of God? Then his pastimes, they are not human-like, they are actually human. Like whenever we see in Bhagavatam, Krishna's pastimes appear, the word used is like guda kapata manusha. Krishna's pastimes appear, they are human-like, they are not human. So if it is an activity of any human being, so why is it, we are not interested in any activity of, hearing the activity of any human being. Because human being is prone to commit all the mistakes. But Krishna's pastimes are human-like. So if the answer is no, if the answer is yes, if the answer is no that Krishna was not aware of his divinity, then in Krishna's pastimes, they are not human-like, but they are actually pastimes of any human being. Then there is no need to hear pastimes of any human being. We can just as well read any mundane novels or something. So why should we hear Srimad Bhagavatam? So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is actually, then he is reconciling both, and he is giving the answer. He is saying that Krishna was simultaneously aware of his divinity. At the same time, he was not aware of his divinity. How is it possible, actually? How can somebody be simultaneously aware of his divinity and not be aware of his divinity? He says, that is possible by the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Lord. He says, that is the achintya shakti of the Supreme Lord. This achintya shakti, it actually reconciles all the contradictions of the Supreme Lord. And he says, like sometimes one may say that achintya shakti, when a person to understand Krishna is inconceivable, but is actually illogical. How can somebody be aware and not be aware? Actually, it is not illogical. Like Chaitanya Charitamrita writes in his book, like accepting the inconceivable potency of the Lord is not illogical, but it is actually translogical. It is transcendental logic. That means, we use our logic to logically understand how we need to go beyond logic to understand God. So this is actually transcendental logic. So basically, so then here Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when we hear such philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes, then we are amazed. It appears so wonderful, actually. We are amazed by these philosophical truths. And when a person understands that how it is so wonderful, then it actually, by that, our love for the Supreme Lord actually increases. So he says that when we understand how the philosophical truths are wonderful, then our love increases. And when our love increases, then our appreciation of Krishna's pastimes actually increase. So Prabhupada, he writes in Nectar of Devotion, 46th chapter, he says, when we actually love a person, then even the apparent ordinary activity performed by a person will appear wonderful for us. And when we don't love a person, then even though a person may perform superhuman activities, it will not be amazed by that. So that is the nature of love. And that love comes when a person actually understands the philosophical truth behind Krishna's passion, that increases the wonder, and that wonder actually nourishes the love. So Shivaram Maharaj concludes, he says that, like he writes in his book, wonder and love actually nourish each other. The wonderful truths about, philosophical truths about Krishna's pastime, they nourish the love. And then he says, devotees of merit never neglect to hear the truths, philosophical truths behind the Krishna's pastimes, even as they relish the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So that is why it is actually important to understand the philosophical truths behind Krishna's pastimes. So coming back to the point, we talked about the Sadachar part, and let us try to understand the Siddhanta behind this particular pastime. What is the philosophical truth? Like again, Govind Dhruva was mentioning that lecture in Vrindavan. He was mentioning that, like, for a conditioned soul like us, self-realization brings us closer to Krishna. But for Mother Yashoda, self-realization is actually destructive in her service to Krishna. Like Krishna, in one sense, he actually showed his opulence. But Mother Yashoda's love is so overwhelming that actually she could see that Krishna showed his greatness to Mother Yashoda. Because what is self-realization? Self-realization means like to understand how we are insignificant, that how Krishna is great. And that how our constitutional position to render service to Krishna. How we are actually eternal servant of Krishna. So that actually brings us closer to Krishna. But for Mother Yashoda, she even rejected self-realization. Like, I was saying that Mother Yashoda's illusion is her greatest wealth, because this actually tells the very important principle of surrender. That whatever is favorable for our service to Krishna, one should accept, and whatever is unfavorable, one should reject. Like for us, what is favorable is self-realization. In fact, there are so many verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam which actually like criticizes a person who is not interested in inquiring about self-realization. Like right in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, Prayen Alpayusha Sabya Kalau Asmin Yuge Jana Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Upagdrita. Like sages are saying that people of Kali Yuga are quarrelsome and lazy. They are like misguided. So Prabhupada says laziness means like Kali Yuga people are actually lazy about inquiring about self-realization. And there are like so many verses, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 10th chapter, Yetam vibhutim cha yogam cha mamayo veti tatvataha sovi kalpena yogena yujyate natra samshaya. He says like when a person understands the opulences of mind, Krishna is going to describe his opulences, the 10th chapter, then a person will actually engage in unalloyed devotional service to me. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the highest summit of spiritual perfection is actually knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God. And when a person factually knows how Krishna is great, a person naturally becomes a surrendered soul. There is no option but surrender to Krishna. But here Krishna is actually showing his opulences to Mother Yashoda, but Mother Yashoda is rejecting that self-realization. So we see like this principle of accept whatever is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable. Like in one lecture, again, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining that real knowledge is not actually simply speaking eloquently, but real knowledge is the capacity to discriminate what is favorable and what is unfavorable. Like if we see, like when a person takes to Krishna consciousness, like initially there are certain things favorable and certain things unfavorable. Like for example, initially our bad habits like maybe meat eating or intoxication or illicit sex or gambling, they are actually unfavorable. Our attachment to like passion, ignorance, they are actually unfavorable. But when a person advances, like what is favorable and what is unfavorable, sometimes it actually changes actually. Like initially for us, like for a conditioned soul, self-realization is favorable for a person to take to Krishna consciousness. But for a person who is actually advanced, like Mother Yashoda, self-realization is actually unfavorable. And because of her love, she actually rejected even self-realization. Like there are actually so many examples in the Bhagavatam. Maybe I'll just narrate few examples. Like for example, like initially, like for somebody, like attachment to mode of passion may be unfavorable. Like apparently, mode of passion, like maybe violence is unfavorable. But for somebody else, when a person advances, attachment to mode of goodness may be unfavorable. Like for example, like because I'm not speaking to instruct anybody or something, because I myself like fail in so many circumstances. So I'm just trying to like illustrate this principle, like in order to glorify the different devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, their character, so that like all of us become purified actually. Like for example, like some of this story of, like if you see Narada Muni preaching to Prachina Barishad, like when Narada Muni is speaking this allegorical story to Prachina Barishad, at one point of time Prachina Barishad has become convinced about the path of devotional service. But still Narada Muni then speaks another allegorical story to Prachina Barishad. So at that point, Prachina Barishad has become a devotee actually. He is convinced about the goal of life. But Narada Muni is speaking another allegorical story because Narada Muni wanted Prachina Barishad to take full shelter of the process of devotional service. Like he is not simply satisfied that a person has become a 16-rounder devotee, or now he is like is following all the Vaishnava etiquette or dhoti kurta. Like he's actually concerned about the quality of his preaching. So he's actually because Prachina Barishad was thinking that maybe I will actually take full shelter of devotional service after my sons return from the forest, and after I appoint them as the king, then I will take full shelter of the process of devotional service. But Narada Muni wanted him to go to forest immediately. So for Prachina Barishad, living in the palace is actually unfavorable for his devotional service because he may become attached to the comforts. But for Narada Muni, if you see in the first canto, like Narada Muni, he was actually, when Narada Muni was meditating on Lord Vishnu, when as a 5-year-old boy, Lord Vishnu appeared for a moment and then disappeared. Then Narada Muni wanted to see the form of Lord Vishnu again. But somehow he could not see when Lord Vishnu spoke to him. So Lord Vishnu told Narada Muni that in this life you will not be able to see me again, because you are still not yet completely pure, because you still have the contamination of the mode of goodness. Because Narada Muni, he was actually attached to performing devotional service in the peaceful atmosphere of the forest. So Lord actually wanted him to even to be purified of that contamination of the mode of goodness. That is why Prabhupada writes that later Narada Muni became a world-class preacher. He was traveling from one universe to another universe, going from, like, he was going to the palace of Prachina Barishad, preaching, sometimes he was preaching to Mrigari, etc. So we see that, like, Narada Muni, that time what was unfavorable was attachment to the mode of goodness. And for Prachina Barishad, what was unfavorable was something else. And because Narada Muni gave up that attachment to the mode of goodness, that is why he could say to Prachina Barishad, you have to actually get out of your palace. That is why he spoke the allegorical story. Because he practiced that is why he had the authority to speak that, and that is why Prachina Barishad was transformed. Like in our case, at least in my case, like, because many times we have made the wrong choices, so we don't have the authority to speak that. And even if we speak that, there will not be actually change, because we don't have the purity, because we have not practiced that. In fact, like every devotee, like when he is preaching, like we see like different devotees, like they'll quote certain examples like again and again, because like at some point in life they got certain realization, especially maybe in the beginning years or some point in life. So those realizations will come again and again. Like for example, like in Radha Gopinath through like certain points in the Bhagavatam, I heard him speaking like again and again, like 5 times, 10 times, like same. Because he's got certain realizations, like we hear, like he's convinced about, and we also relish hearing, although the same thing. So similarly, like Narada Muni, like in his experience, like in the first canto, he got the realization that in order to, like the realization, like which Radhanath Maharaj says, is that to begin devotional service, one has to go out of the comfort zone. So he got that realization is being reflected in his preaching to Prachina Barishad, when he's speaking the allegorical story. And that the realization also comes when he preaches to Prachetas. He says that, Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtyo yena kenava sarvendriyo upashantyacha tushyat ashu janardana. He said the quickest way to please the Supreme Lord is to actually show compassion to the living entities. And how can a person show compassion? He said compassion can be shown to a person when a person is actually satisfied in any circumstance. Santushtyo yena kenava. Like, because Narada Muni, like, to be satisfied in any circumstance, like for us, like, certain situation is, like, comfortable, like, certain situation is uncomfortable. So, to be satisfied in any circumstance means, like, one has to be, in one sense, like, one has to go out of the comfort zone. Like, how can a person go out of the comfort zone? Like, that is possible when a person is satisfied in any circumstance. How can a person be satisfied in any circumstance? He says, sarvendriya upashantyacha. That is possible when a person actually fully controls his senses. And Prabhupada says, how can a person fully control his senses? When the mind is fixed in the Supreme Lord. So when the mind is fixed in the Supreme Lord, then a person can control all the senses. When the senses are fully controlled, then a person is satisfied in all the circumstances. Then a person is comfortable situation or uncomfortable situation, he'll be satisfied. Then a person actually becomes qualified to show compassion to a person. So we see that Narada Muni, the realization which he got as a son of a maid servant, that is being reflected in his preaching. So in our case, we are just actually trying to repeat the realization of the superiors. It's more actually, like Gopinath mentioned in previous class, like for us, like preaching is like a theoretical exercise, like at least for myself. So Narada Muni, and like another example of this particular truth is that Priyavrat Maharaj. Like if you see in the like fifth canto, Fifth canto begins with a question posed by Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, Priyavrato Bhagavata Atma Rama Katam Mune Grihesh Aramata Yanmula Karma Bandha Parabhava. He's saying that Priyavrat Maharaj is a topmost self-realized soul, Bhagavata Atma Rama. And how is it that he became actually attached to household affairs? How is that he became attached to materialistic life? Actually, this question of Parikshit Maharaj is actually a very serious question, actually. If we see the life of Priyavrat Maharaj, Priyavrat Maharaj became the king of the universe after actually Prachetas retired to the forest. That time there was no king. And Prachetas come in the dynasty of Uttanupat. Prachetas, they are not like immediate sons of Uttanupat. They are like grandsons and grandsons and grandsons and grandsons and grandsons of Uttanupat. Like Uttanupat's son is Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj's descendant, so many descendants later, Prithu Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, like so many descendants later, Prachina Parishad, Prachina Parishad's sons are Prachetas. Prachetas rule, performed austerities for 10,000 years, and then they ruled the kingdom for so many thousands of years. And Priyavrat Maharaj was the brother of, elder brother of Uttanupat. And for all along, Priyavrat Maharaj was actually in the Brahmachari ashram of, was practicing renunciation as a Brahmachari in the ashram of Narada Muni. And suddenly when Parikshit Maharaj hears that Priyavrat Maharaj became the king after Prachetas retired to the forest, he immediately is surprised. That means like Priyavrat Maharaj was in the ashram of Narada Muni practicing the life of renunciation for lakhs of years. And especially like for Parikshit Maharaj's question is like very significant, because like for example, to give a mundane so that we can relate to it. Like for example, like suppose a person is like studying for say MBBS or something. So sometimes people, first of all, we have to prepare hard for entrance. And then somehow we get seat in MBBS. And then again work hard for PG entrance. And then somehow get a seat in post-graduation. And then so much of struggle. And then sometimes like people do DM. And then finally, suppose, then he starts his practice. He joins a like very great hospital. Then suppose after joining the hospital, suddenly gets the news that the top doctors in the hospital, they stop their doctor profession of allopathy and then they join Ayurveda. And then one will be like, confused, like, have I made a right decision? Like, I spent like 10 years like working for that, and somebody who's like in the top level in that field. Or like suppose a person is studying for like IIT or something like that, and somehow after grade, sometimes people prepare for 4 years and then join the IIT. The dream comes true. And suddenly he is that the gold medalist or the top toppers in IIT. So suddenly they get dropped out from the college out of frustration, or they commit suicide or something like that. And people will think like, have I made the right decision in my life? So similarly, if you see Parikshit Maharaj, he actually, just 7 days before, he was cursed to die within 7 days. And he has actually renounced, he was the emperor of the whole planet, and he has actually renounced the kingdom. In order to actually, he has taken to the path of renunciation. And he hears the senior most renunciant in the universe, he has actually changed his ashram from Brahmachari ashram to Grihastha ashram. Then Parikshit Maharaj is like, I say this question for Parikshit Maharaj is like very serious inquiry. So why did actually Priyavrat Maharaj become the king, become a householder? So we see that, like in the case of Priyavrat Maharaj, the essential lesson in the life of Priyavrat Maharaj like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was narrating in a lecture, was saying that because when he understood that renunciation is not favorable for the service of Krishna, he even rejected renunciation. Because there is like means and the end. Like initially, when we come to Krishna consciousness, like we have difficulty understanding, oh, meat eating is bad, oh, I have to follow this principle, I should not watch this, I should not do that, etc. And then later, we take to the process of devotional service. And later, like when a person advances, Maya actually confuses a person by making a person misunderstand the means to be the end. That means, like the path of renunciation is a means to achieve the end of pleasing Krishna. But if the path of renunciation, if it is unfavorable for the end of pleasing Krishna, then a person rejects even that. So that is the essential lesson from the life of Privarat Maharaj. Like, so this is like, we can see that like this devotee is like Privarat Maharaj. Or like for example, like if you see the, another example is like gopis. Like for gopis, like for a, for a woman, like in the Vedic culture, chastity is considered to be the highest quality for a woman. But the gopis even rejected that for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. So we have to actually understand the principle, like what is favorable and what is unfavorable for us in our situation. Because in Kali Yuga, like we naturally tend to be disloyal, we naturally tend to reject the authorities, we naturally tend to, like we are naturally harsh to others. Like for us, for most of us, like what is unfavorable is like we have to give, like we should not succumb to mode of passion, we should not give up, we should actually give up our rebellious nature towards the superiors. So that is actually unfavorable. But Bhagavatam gives such extreme examples that what is considered as the greatest quality, like chastity or renunciation, like in the Vedic culture, the normal hierarchy, like renunciation is higher than renunciation, like path of the sannyasa ashram comes after grihastha ashram. But when you see from the point of view of like, from the point of view of bhakti, that a person rejects even renunciation if it is actually, if it is not pleasing to the Lord. So we have to, like for example, even if you see the life of Bali Maharaj, like for example, accepting the, following the instructions of spiritual master, that is the like most, like in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami is mentioning that even when a person has actually attained the stage of bhava, when a person has actually qualified for Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, he mentions five components of like Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. What are the things which are like favorable for one's bhava, which are related to bhava, which are unfavorable for bhava, to actually enhance one relationship with the Supreme Lord. But he says, but following the instruction of spiritual master is the most indispensable item. That means it cannot be avoided at any stage. Like when Mahaprabhu was consulting Ishwarapuri, that I am experiencing these ecstatic symptoms since I started chanting the holy names. So Prabhupada says that even when a person has actually attained a stage of ecstasy, one should never consider oneself to be independent of the spiritual master. That means like following the instruction of spiritual master is the most important item. Like Kuresh, like he prayed to Ranganath that please take me to Vaikuntha. So when all the devotees and Ramanujacharya, when they came to know, why did you pray to Ranganath like that? Why do you want to leave our association? So Kuresh was saying that in my dream, I was getting some dreams that when a person reaches the Vaikuntha planet, now all the residents of Vaikuntha, they come to actually receive the person, welcome the person who actually comes to who enters the Vaikuntha planet. So I thought that if you, Ramanujacharya, if you actually go to Vaikuntha planet before me, then when I come to Vaikuntha planet, I will have to take service from you. But actually, you are my eternal master. So I don't want to take service from you. So I want to go to Vaikuntha planet so that I can actually come to receive you and actually welcome you. So the point is that, like, accepting the instruction of spiritual master is such an important thing. But Bali Maharaj, he even rejected that when he actually understood that it is actually unfavorable for the purpose of actually pleasing the Supreme Lord. Like, we have to, like, in our case, like, we can't, like, whimsically reject, we can't justify our whimsical nature. But the principle which is to be understood is, like, whatever is favorable, we accept it. Whatever is unfavorable, we have to reject it. Like, for example, maybe I'll conclude with this last. So, like, even, like, sometimes, like, there are certain, like, services. Like, certain services may be favorable at a particular circumstance, but then sometimes, like, it may have, one may have to stop doing that service because at that time it may not be needed. In fact, it may be causing some harm in a particular situation. Like, I remember, like, few years back, we were organizing Janmashtami program. So, like, devotees were making a lot of decorations for the Janmashtami program. So, but then when we arrived, like, so decoration was going on, it's a very important service. But then, so it was like 6 o'clock, like, it was time to, like, set up the hall and set up the sound system and call other boys for the program. So that time, that was most needed, like, and like, devotees who were engaged in decoration, they had to stop doing that, because if we decorate the whole thing, and then if suppose nobody is there for the program, like, the sound system is not ready, then what is the use of that? So, and certain circumstances, like, certain, this thing may be unfavorable. Like, for example, like Garuda, in the 8th canto, in the churning of the milk ocean, like, just before, when Lord Vishnu brought the Mandara Parvat, after bringing the Mandara Parvat, he told Garuda, we actually leave this place. So actually, it's one of the, like, important event in the history of the universe, like, churning of the milk ocean by the demigods and demons. Like, anybody in such an important event, they would want to, like, make sure that, oh, I also participated in that event. Like, suppose in a World Cup match or something, like, people want to say, oh, I was also in the part of the team. Although, one may be in the 12th man or something like that. No, but I was part of the team. You want to be there, you want to show like that. But then Garuda was told, no, you should actually leave this place. So he understood that it's actually unfavorable for me, so he left that place. So like that, there are other examples. Of course, I wanted to talk about other points, but it will take actually a lot of time. But to summarize, like, we discussed about the Sadachar and Siddhanta behind Krishna's pastimes. The essential lesson is that, like, about the Sadachar, we spoke about how, like, Mother Yashoda's affection towards Krishna, how there is need of mothers. And in the Siddhanta part, we talked about how whatever is favorable for self-realization, one should actually accept it. And whatever is unfavorable, one should actually reject it. And for Mother Yashoda, so because she had actually love for Krishna, like, in our case, because we don't have love, so it becomes actually very difficult to reject certain unfavorable things. It becomes a very bitter experience. But for Mother Yashoda, it was not, she didn't have to put effort actually. In fact, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna's display of power did not diminish the prema of Mother Yashoda, but only increased her prema. Yashoda did not need to find out the cause for what happened. In fact, the cause of her disturbance was her deep prema alone. So we talked about this principle from different since the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I'll stop here. मीडियस ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।